ticklish business any way you look at it. Come on, we'll stick together.
The podcast devoted to honoring and deconstructing the world of classic cinema. As always, I'm your host, Kristen Lopez. This week's special mini-sode sees me joined by author Kendra Bean and Anthony Uzarowski to talk about their new book, Ava Gardner, A Life in Movies. If you are a fan of beautiful artwork, amazing history of a classic film star, you cannot do better than picking up Kendra and Anthony's book. I have been a huge fan of Kendra since she put out her Vivian Leigh biography a couple years back. And full disclosure, I know Kendra. I've hung out with her. She's incredibly wonderful. So maybe I'm a taste biased, but I had known next to nothing about Ava Gardner when I got the book. And I read it, and I have a newfound appreciation for a woman who is often commonly criticized for who she dated and her drinking and just other stuff that a lot of film actresses specifically get critiqued for. So it's a beautiful book. I cannot stress that enough. The pictures that Kendra and Anthony have found that are included in this book are suitable for framing. If you have seen any classic film kind of cheesecake photos or professional photography, you will be in love with this book. It's a beautiful blend of coffee table and biography, so I cannot support Ava Gardner, A Life in Movies enough. It is something that if you are a classic film person and want to read and you're listening to this podcast, you should definitely give it a look. But don't listen to me. Let's talk to Kendra and Anthony. Today, I am talking with the fantabulous duo of Kendra Bean and Anthony Uzarowski. How are you guys today?
Fine.
Good, thank you.
And they will be talking with me today about their amazing book that's just come out, Ava Gardner, A Life in Movies. I am so excited to get to talk to both of you. The book is absolutely beautiful. Everybody should read it. The first question is the big one. What were your Ava Gardner gateway films? The movies that stopped you and made you say, who is that?
Well, Anthony, you go first.
I think the first movie I remember Ava in is The Barefoot Contessa, which maybe is not uncommon for other people as well, because it's probably one of her most famous ones. And I think I saw it for the first time when I was maybe 10 or 11. And obviously, I was just struck by her because she was so beautiful. And later, The Night of the Iguana became one of the films I really loved and rewatched over and over again on TCM when I was a teenager.
Well, Night of the Iguana was actually the first Ava film I saw, aside from Mogambo, which I'd watched years ago as part of a Clark Gable box set that came out through Warner Brothers 10 years ago. Kristen, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
But Night of the Iguana is the film. I actually saw it with Anthony the first time because I knew he was a really big fan and he made me watch it, but I really did appreciate it. So I guess that would be the film that made me take an interest in Ava's life and her career.
The one I always use as my gateway, because I'm still woefully uninformed about Ava Gardner's films, is East Side West Side with Barbara Stanwyck.
That's a really cool film.
It's probably not the work that she'll be best remembered for, but it's such an amazing ensemble with so many titans of the golden era that if you haven't seen East Side West Side, you should definitely watch it. Well, how did watching her movies translate into writing a book about her?
I mean, I suppose all of us start as fans at some point. So for me, it wasn't just Ava, but in general, as a child, I was in love with films and classic films, especially. Marilyn Monroe was the first star I was really in love with and obsessed with. And then others came, Ava in particular. And then as you grow older, you start thinking, what am I going to do with my life? I could either just leave this as a hobby or I could actually try to do something more serious with it. And then obviously meeting Kendra, the fact that she had written a book about Vivian really inspired me to think, yeah, maybe something else could be with Ava as well. So it was just a very gradual process. It's not sort of one day you don't wake up and don't think, oh, I'm going to write a book. It happens gradually. At least for me, it did.
Yes, I mean, for me, I wrote the Vivian book, and then because Vivian is really my favorite celebrity and someone who I'm still very much interested in researching, but I was speaking with my agent about it a few years ago, and I said, you know, I need to think of something else to do, and she said, I think you should move on from Vivian a little bit and try something else. And I thought, well, yes, it's probably the best idea. It was really being friends with Anthony that got me into Ava, and because I knew he was so into it, and we both did film studies in grad school, although at different times and different colleges, because we both had the same sort of sense of loving classic movies and wanting to write about them, decided it might be fun for us to team up to do something about Ava. And for me, it was a really big learning experience because I didn't know very much about her at all before we started this project. So it's been really enlightening for me.
Well, going off of that, obviously, it's a co-production. You mentioned knowing each other. How did you guys decide, okay, we're going to collaborate on this book together?
I think we were talking on Skype one day when I was living back in California, and I was sort of thinking of what project I could do next. And, well, just because Anthony, I know, is a really big fan, and he's made me watch some of her films in the past few years, and I thought it would be fun to team up together and try and do this collaborative project, and I think it worked out really well. It was actually really fun writing it with him.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, being friends as well as being co-writers, it really does help because, you know the other person so well that you really speak in this shorthand language and you don't have to spend hours establishing certain things. You just know. It definitely helped that we were friends first and then co-authors later.
This is a big, heavy book filled with amazing photos and information. Where did you guys start in terms of the research for this?
Well, a big thing, of course, is always going through the previous biographies that have been written and sort of seeing how we could come up with something a little bit different. What angle could we take that would set our book apart from other books? And I think aside from the photo angle, it had a lot to do with trying to put Ava in a wider cultural context. So we ended up doing a lot of research in different archives. For example, when I was in California, I spent quite a bit of time down at the Margaret Herrick Library in Beverly Hills going through everyone's papers. Ava doesn't have papers, sadly, but the people like Gregory Peck, George Cukor, all the production files for her films, digging through that material, I think really brought out for me this sense of a person that wasn't really told in these other books. I mean, she was so much interested in these cultural goings-on and being friends with people like Henry Miller and Ernest Hemingway and Robert Graves. And it was just really interesting to see who Ava really was through letters. It's sort of like a gradual process of first trying to establish how our book can be different, what we could contribute that people maybe haven't seen or read before, and then just going from there.
One thing I love to ask writers, because I'm always interested with finding new angles on these celebrities, was there a moment in your research, something where you were like, oh my gosh, this is something that we've discovered that we have to share that no one else knows? Was there a moment in researching Ava?
It's really difficult because we weren't actually allowed to use everything that we found in terms of quotes or photographs, which is a long story, and I don't think we really want to go into it here. Seeing things like, for example, at UCLA, I found some letters in the Henry Miller archive where he's writing to George Cukor and where Ava wrote to him about just these friendships that she had with these people who you might not see her as being friends with was quite revealing, I think. Henry Miller loved her, for example. She read Tropic of Cancer. She loved it. She was really good friends with George Cukor and wanted to do several projects with him, and those unfortunately fell through, but they ended up having quite a rapport together after Bhowani Junction in the 1950s. And so I think just discovering maybe not a big thing, but these little nuggets of information that I think really sort of illuminated her as a person that didn't quite come through to me when I read previous biographies.
There existed those snippets of information that we build on. We knew that she was friends with Hemingway or she was friends with Robert Graves, but I wasn't sure how far was this actually true and how good a friend she really was with these people. It was more made of it because they were such big figures. But actually, I went to Oxford as well, encouraged by Graves' son, William. I went to Oxford to look through his papers and through his letters. And, you know, they're really friendly, humorous letters that you only write to people that you're quite close with. Just to see that was quite illuminating. And those were correspondences that went on for years and years wasn't something that was brief. So she really took a very keen interest in maintaining those friendships and maintaining those relationships. And so little is being said about that. And certainly up to now, the focus has mainly been on her romantic relationships and not on her other friendships. And if you think about it, you know, she divorced Sinatra when she was still in her 30s and she never married again. So for the rest of her life, arguably the most important relationships were not sexual, but were actually platonic friendships. And finding out more about them was really interesting.
Well, Anthony actually might have answered a question that I was going to ask, so I don't know if there's anything Kendra wants to throw out there, but I think a lot of fans too often see Ava in terms of who she married, who she dated. Were there any specific goals that you wanted to achieve when you guys were writing this, myths or misconceptions that you were hoping to dispel or set the record straight on?
It's so annoying. It's always women that are defined by who they're married to. And, you know, whether it's Vivian being married to Laurence Olivier, or it's always the case that, oh, if people ask you, what is she famous for? And if you say, oh, she was married to Frank Sinatra, it's like you catch yourself saying it and then you're angry with yourself because you do it as well. It's just so embedded in our cultural DNA that that's what we do. And it really annoyed me. And more than once during writing the book, I think Kendra and I said this to ourselves, you know, we have to do something to make it about Ava and not about who she was married. So we definitely tried to do that in this book. Although all three of her marriages were to famous men, our book is not about that. It's about Ava from the beginning to the end. That was very important for us.
Just today, there was a rather, well, very clickbaity, sensational headline in the Daily Mail about our book, about how Ava cheated on Frank Sinatra and couldn't stay faithful. And it's like, well, okay, but they were only married for about 7 years, and she had this whole life outside of Frank Sinatra and outside of these sexual relationships that are widely publicized and that she's sadly known for. But what we really wanted to do is just take her outside of that context. And of course, we still write about the marriages and everything because that was part of her life, but we also wanted to examine her films closer and reassess her as an actress because she didn't think she had any talent. Apparently a lot of people around her didn't think she had much talent either. So we wanted to see those things in a new light and sort of bring her kind of into the 21st century in that way. But then also, as I said before, just like look at her as in a wider cultural context and not just as a sort of sex pot that just slept around and drank all the time. I mean, I don't think that's very fair to her legacy because it's not just who she was.
Right. You and I have a wonderful story about watching Ava Gardner in Earthquake at the TCM Film Festival, which I think is, for a lot of people, they could say that, oh, it's just her playing herself. And that ignores countless years of film work where she's actually putting out amazing performances. I've talked to authors who have written about Marilyn Monroe or other female actresses, and too often the women just get maligned as, well, if they were hot, that's all they were known for. What I love about your book, and also with Vivian, I think, too, who was maligned as, oh, well, she was just crazy. This book does a great job of actually putting out a fully fleshed out portrait of hers. Kendra, most people know you from the book you wrote about Vivian, which I also thoroughly adored. Was working on this book harder than the Vivian one? Were there any specifically unique challenges you encountered here that you didn't with the previous book? Or was it smooth sailing because you already had the first book under your belt?
Well, in some ways, I think it was a bit easier because I had already been through a process of writing another one. So I knew where to do research. I knew how to get photos. I knew what clearances need to be made for those and the general process of putting a similar book together. So I think in that way it was easier. The research was a lot of fun because, as I said, I didn't know much about Ava before we started this. And in that way, I think it was a challenge as well because, as you said, people know me as like the Vivian Leigh expert on social media, if you want to call me that. So Ava is not someone I knew very much about. And so it was a challenge to get in that mindset and really dig in deep with the research and try and understand this appeal that she had, because I hadn't seen many of her films before we started this. And going through, I sort of got more of an appreciation for her. But I think it was good in a way for me to branch out like that and work on someone else. But it really helped, I think, having Anthony as my co-author, because he has so much enthusiasm and passion for the subject, that it was really quite infectious, and I think I hopefully took some of it on as well.
Well, Anthony, by the same token, was there any challenges for you working on the book?
I count myself incredibly lucky to have Kendra, because without her, the book wouldn't have happened, or if it did, you know, it would have taken years and years, because obviously I had it so much easier because Kendra was there and all her expertise and all her contacts were there. All I had to do really was to sit down and start working on it with her rather than, you know, trying to get out and actually make it happen. That was such a massive obstacle that I didn't have to go through. Just getting published, basically. I mean, we still had to pitch the book and we still had to get a deal, but it was so much easier because of Kendra and because of Vivian. So I'm really, really lucky in that sense. But otherwise, I mean, you never know what it means to write a book or even co-write a book unless you've done it. And it's so much work. It's so much more than just actually writing as well, which is something I didn't realize before. So much goes into it aside from just sitting down and writing it. So the research, the interviews, and then you know, the editing process and the photographs. And up to now, I mean, doing what we're doing now is also part of the process. It's just been such an epic journey for me because Kendra was there every step of the way. It's just been incredible. I don't think it would have been the same. In fact, I know it wouldn't be the same without her.
Aww.
Both books have beautiful photos. They're almost like coffee table books. The Vivian book that Kendra wrote and this one as well. What is it for you in terms of the photos that makes them so necessary? How did they aid in telling Ava's story?
Well, we discussed it before with Kendra as well, with the interview we did a few days ago. I think because Ava, as was Vivian, is such a her image, the visual side of her, such a big part of who she was, it really helps when telling her story to have the pictures there, especially because we not only have studio portraits, but we have lots of candid and on-set pictures as well. So it just gives the whole story a whole new dimension.
It's always nice to be able to visualize what you're reading when it comes to old Hollywood because, well, film is such a visual medium. It is a visual medium. So to have the photographs alongside the story, I think, just takes things to another level.
To ask you guys about the press tour, because Kendra, I know you and I are both big TCM fans. We've gone to the festival and we love it. The book is being promoted on the TCM Now Playing monthly promo that's going on right now, which is so fun to get to tell people, like, I know her. What has that been like for you guys as fans turned public people now?
We're really just starting out with the press stuff right now because the book just came out in the States literally yesterday, and it hasn't come out here in the UK. We'll do so on the 27th of July. So we're very much just starting this whole process. At times it can be challenging. As I mentioned, the Daily Mail did a big story with a very sensational headline today, which you always worry, like, well, will this publicity put readers off, or will it attract them for the wrong reasons, or things like that. But it's all par for the course. So we just hope that there will be kind of a balance of coverage between different outlets and that we'll get some good reviews and people will really enjoy it. In terms of TCM, for me, that's so exciting because that's my favorite TV channel of all time. I mean, it's just incredible knowing that people who enjoy the same films that we do will be able to see it on TV. I mean, how amazing is that? That's pretty cool.
That's on my bucket list one day. I'll know I've arrived when they're promoting something that has my name on it on TCM.
TCM is such a big part of all of our lives. I mean, I grew up watching TCM. It, like, made my childhood bearable. So just to have it there is really incredible. I still can't really wrap my head around it, to be honest. And also because we're in the UK, we haven't actually seen it live on... We've only seen clips that have been sent to us, but we haven't actually watch TV and see it, because that would have been even more amazing. But
what are some of your Ava recommendations for anyone who's interested in learning more about her or watching her films but don't know where to start? What are the go-to ones to get the best look at her career?
Well, we obviously recommend starting with our book.
Of course.
You have a good overview. For me personally, I really like a film called One Touch of Venus from 1948.
I have to see that one.
Yeah, it's a light comedy, and it's so different from her heavier material that she did later, like Night of the Iguana and Barefoot Contessa. I quite like it. It's fun, it's quirky. It's very much, I think, like a TCM movie you might see, like, on in the middle of the day. Mogambo, of course, because I love Clark Gable and I love the original Red Dust, which it's a remake of. I think that's a great film. Probably Pandora and the Flying Dutchman, which is, well, I guess you might call it an art house film in a way, because a lot of people involved with it, like Jack Cardiff, the cinematographer, James Mason. It's very European in a way, which I quite like. I think she had a really varied career in the types of films that she did outside of her MGM contract. She had such a long career as well, so there's really a lot of material to kind of dig into, but that's where I would start if I were recommending things.
The book could be sort of used almost as a roadmap because it is chronological. We deliberately told her story from beginning to end, and it would be a good idea to start watching them chronologically as well to see how she developed as an actress and how her style of performance changed as well over time and how her image changed. We highlight the films that, in our opinion, are sort of more important or more worthy of attention, so we give them a lot more attention in the book as well. For someone reading the book, it'll be quite obvious to see which ones, oh, I should probably watch this. So obviously The Killers and being the first big part that she did, and then from then onwards. So I think, yeah, you can safely use the book as a roadmap to find your way through Ava's career. As with any actress and an actor, and everyone is different, our tastes are very different, so you might find that a film that was neglected or isn't necessarily written at length about in our book might become your favorite. So you never know with these things. I think you just have to really immerse yourself in Ava's world and see as many of them as you can. That was really the point of the book. We really wanted people to revisit and find a new appreciation for her legacy, because as an actress, she is largely unappreciated, I think.
I know Kendra is on social and sees a lot of fellow TCM fans talk about, I want to write a biography on somebody. What advice do you guys have coming out with this book in terms of other writers who love a celebrity of the classic genre and want to pen their own biography of them someday?
As I was told before I did the Vivian Leigh book a few years ago, I think it's important to have a vision in mind of what type of book you want to do and what kind of story you want to tell. And from there, you can gauge whether you'll need things like a literary agent and what type of publishers to pitch to and how to form your book pitch as well. Those are all important things to think about. I can say that, unfortunately, for bigger publishers, the sort of world of film publishing is quite small in terms of the subjects that they think are really sellable. With Vivian, I actually, for some reason, had a bit of a difficult time trying to get people to see that actually she was a worthy subject and she is still relevant. So any way you can try and make your subject appear relevant, which of course, since we're classic film fans, we think everybody's relevant, or at least should be relevant, and that's why we want to write about these people. But in publishing, it's all about sales and what can make money for the publishers. If you're willing to go with maybe an academic publisher or someone that doesn't give an advance to do research or anything like that, then by all means, you should go for it. If you're hoping to do something with like really high quality printing and a lot of photographs, I think it's wise to get an agent and try and go for a bigger publisher. So that's what we really had to do with this book, and what I had to do with the Vivian book as well, because we knew that we wanted it to be of a certain quality in terms of the size of it, the printing, the page quality, the photo quality. All of that stuff costs quite a bit of money, and you wouldn't necessarily know that unless you were going through this process. And to get a bigger publisher, we had to have an agent, which we're very lucky to do, because she's great, who can help pitch those projects to certain people and make sure your book proposal doesn't go in the dreaded slush pile. It is quite a process. There are a lot of things to think about other than just writing. All in all, I would say, if you have this vision and you really want it to happen, you should, of course, I think, write the book that you want to write, the book that you want to see published, and don't give up on it. Just keep going. I mean, you will experience roadblocks. You will get told no. You will get turned down, and that's just par for the course. You just have to keep at it, and eventually, hopefully, it will come to fruition.
That's expert advice right there. So the only thing I would be add, and it's not necessarily true in all cases, but you know, if you can, to give yourself a bit more credibility, if there are any people connected to your subject, children or grandchildren or any estate, for us personally, maybe it didn't work as well as we hoped it would, but if you can get them on board or get them interested in your project, they will certainly make it more attractive to the publisher, because you know they will know that they will be able to bypass certain difficulties and the book will automatically gain in credibility and believability as well. So,
adding on to that as well, you should give yourself some credibility as well in terms of your ability to write the book that you want to write. I mean, I know a few people who I think who want to write books on certain people and who would actually write great books on certain people, but have this feeling that they're not good enough or they're not ready enough. You kind of just have to put yourself out there eventually. If you just sit at home all day thinking, well, I can never do this, then it won't ever happen. So eventually you have to just say, right, I'm going to get down to it and just throw caution to the wind and go for it. Just go for it.
Kendra's galvanizing me here. The last question I have is the ultimate what if. Are there stars that you both would love to write about in the future if time and money were no object?
I have always wanted to do a photo book on Carol Lombard, who's my second favorite actress.
That would be amazing.
I think she's amazing. I know there have been a few books about her, but she was brilliant, and I think she's so underrated, and she's not talked about as much as she should be. So I would like to do something about her, hopefully in the not-too-distant future. I do want to get back to doing some things on Vivian because of all of this archival material that's come out recently here in London. I think there's still a lot of potential for that. And for me, it's not celebrity-related, but I'd really like to write a Victorian true crime book at some point.
I was talking to Michelle Morgan just a couple months ago, and I swear she said she was writing about Victorian scandals.
Her book is actually coming out.
Anthony, what about you?
Well, actually, I'm trying to develop a project right now. I mean, it's in very early stages, so I don't know if I should talk about it or not. Well, it's not precisely a classic movie star, but it's Jessica Lange. And there's never been a book about her, and obviously she's incredibly interesting and an incredible performer. So we'll see where that goes. But when it comes to sort of more classic film stars, I don't know. I mean, I love Lauren Bacall as well. And I know there's never really been a book aside from her own autobiography. So I think that would be interesting as well.
Well, I am excited for whatever you guys have next. I think it will look amazing for starters, and it'll probably be wonderful to read. Listeners, let me know your thoughts on Ava Gardner, your favorite films, what you think about her, what you think about Kendra and Anthony's book, if you happen to have purchased it, and you should. You can email your thoughts to me at ticklishbiz@gmail.com, and I will read them on the next episode. Once again, I would like to thank Kendra Bean and Anthony Uzarowski for joining me today. Where can fans get in touch and find you guys online to learn more about Ava, your other projects, all of that?
Well, you can find me at kendrabean.com or at vivandlarry.com, on Twitter at Kendra J. Bean, or on Instagram also at Kendra J. Bean.
And I'm on Twitter as A. Uzarowski, and on Facebook we've got an Ava Gardner Life in Movies page, which you can message us through that as well. And also there's an Ava Gardner book Instagram page dedicated to our book.
And of course the book is available in the US at least, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the places that you can buy stuff. You guys said it'll be available in the UK at the end of July, right?
The 27th.
Perfect. So you guys, if you haven't bought the book, you should do it. It's, again, it's a fine addition to your classic film bookshelf. Or you can put it on your coffee table. It looks fantastic either way. That's going to close out this special mini-sode edition of Ticklish Business. You can listen to Ticklish Business a multitude of ways, either at ticklishbusiness.podbean.com, via Stitcher Radio, or on iTunes. If you are listening via iTunes, please feel free to leave a rating and review. As always, you can contact me directly at ticklishbiz, that's B-I-Z, at gmail.com, or visit me at my official website, where I discuss classic films regularly, journeysinclassicfilm.com. The podcast is also now on Twitter at ticklish_biz. Want to listen to episodes early or have me review your favorite film or classic film star? Then consider supporting Ticklish Business via Patreon. I have a wealth of amazing perks available, and all your donations go right back into making Ticklish Business the premier classic film podcast. If you're interested in learning more, just head over to patreon.com/ticklishbiz. Also, if you haven't entered my special Ticklish Business Anniversary Contest, there's still plenty of time to enter. Just leave a rating or review on iTunes to get a chance to win a special Ticklish Biz Mystery Prize. The contest is going to close around August 1st, or whenever I get 3 contest entries. It's fairly open-ended. Next time, we're going to discuss our regularly scheduled episode. It's going to see me joined by Debbie Elias to tap our toes alongside Gene Kelly's An American in Paris. And once again, you can pick up Anthony and Kendra's book, Ava Gardner, A Life in Movies, wherever books are sold. Till next time.